Hi, folks. This is Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. Episode 339, I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Well, this week, during the first segment of this episode, I would be remiss if I did not speak up and render my opinion on this horrible, horrible tragedy that happened in Oregon at that small college, where yet again another nutbag in a gun-free zone shot and killed a bunch of people. And it's terrible. It's terrible. Every time one of these things happens, my heart breaks. As you probably know, I'm a strong believer in the right to life. And I'm also a strong believer that you have the right to defend yourself against nut jobs like this that want to take your life away from you. That's exactly why we carry guns, is it not? And I am also horrified that for many people in the United States, the right to protect their life is taken away from them or severely restricted by idiots in the government that don't get it. You know, I am not trying to inject politics. And so what I'm about to say right now, I'm not trying to get political and I'm not trying to say I support one person over the other. But recently Donald Trump said, if there would have been at least a couple of teachers there with guns, things might have turned out differently. Now, I'm not saying I'm 100% supporter of Donald Trump or his position on guns or anything like that. Okay, I'm far from making up my mind in this next presidential election. But I'm actually very glad that Donald Trump said that. Because he's right. If there would have been at least even just a couple of faculty members there, it may have been different. Or some students carrying. It would have been very, very different. People in the classroom that were carrying a gun, or people nearby that were carrying a gun. Once again, my heart breaks. And once again, we see politicians, including the President of the United States, politicizing this issue. And wow, even having the guts to say that this issue should be politicized. Seriously? Come on now. This isn't about guns. This is about the right to life. Well, people politicize that too. People on both sides politicize that. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the right to life is a covenant between you and God. Do you realize that? And politicians should not interfere with the right to life. Whether it's the life of someone, of a newborn baby, or whether it is the life of you, an adult, 21 years of age or older, and not convicted of a felony, and licensed to carry a firearm for self-defense. Or not licensed if your state does not require it. That's what this is about. And unfortunately, about 9 people lost their lives because they didn't have the right to protect it, or somebody else didn't have the right to protect their life for them. Plain and simple. And that really, really ticks me off. So, that's what I want to say about that for right now. I mean, I don't want to drone on and on and on about that, but that's pretty much the major takeaway that we should all have from this. I pray for the families of the 9 people that passed away. And of those 9 people that we passed away, I hope all of them are resting in peace with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I hope. That is my hope. Now, you can probably hear some background noise. I am in the Handgun World mobile studio. And I didn't bring my headset with me, but guess where I am driving to? Yep, I'm driving to the shooting range. I'm going to practice What a great day. I have not been able to get out and shoot as much as I would like to, and that's going to change in 2016. That is going to change in 2016. I do want to say that next year I am probably not going to be doing any traveling instruction next year. As I mentioned before, my family situation, my family needs me. My wife is battling a terminal illness, most of you know. And my son, healthy as a horse, but he needs me around. And it's just too hard for me. I travel in my real job. In fact, I got to travel today. I got to go make an overnight trip, 24-hour trip, business trip for my real job. So it's hard enough to travel and be away from them for my real job, adding to that by going out and teaching a firearms class out of town. It's a four-day adventure. It's a 4 days away from home. If Ben and I teach a Saturday and Sunday, we got to go in there on Friday and travel home on Monday. So it's 4 days for us. 2 days for the students, but 4 days for us. And that makes it kind of tough on me. I am going to be doing some things locally. When I say local, I mean here in South Texas, greater San Antonio and greater Austin, Texas. I'm hosting John Payne from Suarez International in May. You can already go to handgunworld.com, which is my website. You can go to handgunworld.com and you can see a little bit about this course. It's an M4 rifle gunfighting class. It's a carbine class. You don't have to have an M4 AR-15. You can come with any kind of rifle. It will be, however, M4 AR-15 specific class. John Payne, Suarez International, is coming in to San Antonio. I think we got it set up May 14th and 15th at Cedar Ridge Range. At Cedar Ridge Range. So for those of you here in the San Antonio area, you're probably familiar with that. That's where the Texas Tactical IDPA team shoots here in San Antonio. Cedar Ridge Range, and that's going to be a two-day rifle class. Ben Branham and myself are going to be there as students. We're going to be there as students. So I plan to be a student more next year. I need to get better, folks. I need to get better. Because, you know, here's one of the challenges. I think a lot of firearms instructors can probably relate to this when I say this. Once we get really, really busy teaching, it makes it difficult for us to get out there and shoot and train because we're devoting all of our time and exhausting energy to you guys, the students. Sorry about that. I had to grab a call. But anyway, I was talking about, you know, we have to devote our energy to you. So sometimes it makes it a little difficult for us to get out there and train. So my goal next year is to take two or three firearms classes where I am a student. One of them is going to be this M4 rifle gunfighting class through Suarez International with John Payne. By the way, it's going to start fairly basic and then get a little bit more advanced and a little bit more progressive as it goes along. So if you've never taken a rifle or carbine class, don't feel bad. You can still take this class and it's going to be real good for you. And I think you'll get a lot out of it. So if you want to sign up for that, handgunworld.com, you'll be able to see a link on how to get to that sign-up page for that class. So again, I've always said you can judge an instructor by the training that he or she has taken. And so just ask them, hey, what classes have you taken in the last two or three years? And I firmly believe that if an instructor has not taken some training for himself or herself in the last two or three years, then they're probably not doing a good enough job of keeping their skills sharp and keeping up on the most modern of techniques that are available out there for you, the concealed carrier, to learn. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with competition either. I'm a big proponent of competition. IDPA, USPSA for pistol, three-gun competition, things like that. Competition has some very, very good components to it that you need to learn. And there are also classes that you can take on how to become a better competitive shooter. And I think that's something I'd like to take as well. I'm going to try to look for some classes where I can become a better competitive shooter. I might be going on the road for one class in South Carolina. Ben and I have sort of committed to going to South Carolina already. We're just working out all the details. So since we've pretty much committed to that, probably be going on the road just for that one, and that's it for next year. Okay, as I head to the range, I want to let you know that what I'm going to be working on today. I'm going to be working on a lot of trigger control. I need to work better. I need to do better with my trigger control. So I'm bringing, let's see, three guns. I'm bringing my Smith & Wesson M&P 9 full size, the Pro Series. I am bringing my M&P Shield and a Glock 43. So, again, I have not abandoned the single stack 9 challenge. Today I'm going to run quite a few rounds through the Glock 43 and the Shield and keep comparing those two. Ben Branham has got my XDS right now that he is testing out and going to be rendering some opinions on that. And I have not had a chance to run my M&P 9 full size yet very much, my Pro Series. So it's a wonderful shooting gun. It's, you know, I mean, I really can't say very many bad things about it. There's not very many negatives of it. The triggers for the Pro Series have really, really, really improved versus the early Smith & Wesson M&P triggers, which I thought were terrible back when they first came out. But Smith & Wesson has really improved those. So I'm probably going to run about 100 rounds through that pistol, probably about 100 rounds through each gun, because I've brought about 300 rounds with me. And I'm going to be shooting with Alan and Luis at a place to shoot in San Antonio. Real nice firearms range in San Antonio. It's going to be kind of cool. Been wanting to do this for a long time. And I'm going to be there in about 5 minutes. So let me wrap up this segment of the podcast, and I'm probably going to have some feedback for you on my range session. I'll be right back.
Well, yeah, it's getting tough out there. Yeah, no doubt. I work in home invasions mostly. Some murder, occasional rape, and I'm a huge advocate of gun control. Absolutely. Competition is stiff, and it doesn't help that every time I kick in a door or smash a window, that I face the possibility of being shot and killed. Listen, the fact is, allowing citizens to own guns creates a hostile work environment for me and my associates. No one should have to work under those conditions. I say make them all illegal. Absolutely. Make all gun ownership illegal. I mean, I break the law for a living. I'm a professional, so it doesn't really bother me. I mean, but personally, knowing that most homeowners don't have guns, that would make me a lot more comfortable, more confident, and it would surely increase productivity. No doubt.
Your local violent criminals work hard and put their lives on the line every time they attempt to murder, rape, abduct, or assault a member of the citizenry. They desperately need your help. With your support, there may finally come a day when a violent criminal can have his way with you or someone you love without the fear, anxiety, and stress caused by knowing there's a possibility his victim might be armed. Please show your support by voting for stronger anti-gun legislation, because criminals prefer unarmed citizens.
Hey, during the break, I want to talk about our Shooters Club giveaway. There's now a free way to enter. We didn't announce this before, but there is now a way for you to enter for free. In other words, you don't have to purchase a Shooters Club membership, or you don't have to purchase anything. We hope that you do, and we're going to create an incentive if you do purchase a Shooters Club member or a membership, or if you are a current active member at the time of the drawing. But there is a free way to do it. And here's how it's going to work. what we need you to do is we need you to produce a video and try to keep it 30 to 45 seconds in length. A video, not an audio file, but a video, 30 to 45 seconds in length. And Ben Branham and I would either like to hear how you like our show, or if you have a specific question that you want us to answer for you on the air, please put that in the video and email that to us. So you can email it to handgunworld@gmail.com. That's handgunworld@gmail.com. Or you can email it to ben@modernselfprotection.com. If you do that, you will get one free number. And that number is going to go into random.org. And then you might be eligible to either win a Springfield XDS 9mm, my personal XDS pistol, that I'm going to be giving away with six magazines, by the way, 3 7-rounders and 3 8-rounders. Or you could win one of five different holsters, Kydex holsters, really nice Kydex holsters, from On Your Six Designs. That's On Your Number Six Designs.com. And, of course, if you are a Shooters Club member, you'll be eligible for a 15% discount on any of the classes taught by either Ben or myself. I might not be doing too many, but I'll be doing some next year in 2016. So if you're a Shooters Club member, for either $8 a month or $75 a year, you will get two numbers entered into the drawing. And I'm going to use the computer-generated random.org to choose the winners. And that's going to be December 24th. So what a cool Christmas present. Huh? Think about that. What a great Christmas gift for either you or somebody else. Treat yourself, make yourself make a video 30 to 45 seconds in length. Send it to, email it to either me or Ben. Tell us either one of two things. Either how much you like our podcast and what you get out of it, or ask us a question. Ask us any firearms related question. Again, that email address is handgunworld@gmail.com. That's how you can email it to me, or ben@modernselfprotection.com. We hope that quite a few of you take advantage of this new free way to do it. Again, advantage is going to go a little bit to the Shooters Club members because, hey, you know what? They've purchased a product. They've purchased a membership, a good learning, educational video membership. They get a little bit of an extra benefit to benefit from this giveaway. And of course, the really cool thing is they're getting the incredible value of 35 different videos and half a dozen audio podcasts that Ben and I made that we feel are very, very instructional to help you in your shooting skills, concealed carry methods, and all kinds of fun stuff. Also, don't forget about my Amazon store. You don't even have to spend any extra money to support us. Yeah, as long as you make your purchases on Amazon through my store, go to handgunworld.com, click the Amazon store page, and there's a special link there. And if you please use my link whenever you make your Amazon purchases, you can help support the show. Without spending any extra money, you can support me because, hey, look, you were probably going to buy that product on Amazon anyway, right? Okay. Just a quick sound effect or something like that, and next segment. Okay, back with you again. Hey, I apologize for all the interruptions here and different types of audio quality. Now I've got my headset with me, but I didn't have my recorder with me. And, oh, man, I just can't seem to get organized in recording this show. And, you know, this is what, 339 episodes or something like that. You'd think I'd have this down right now. But anyway, my lifestyle has been such that it's been kind of hard for me to keep organized and podcasting from the road and things. People who have done it, they know what the challenges are and how hard it is. Anyway, I promise that this episode is going to be one that you are going to be able to get a lot out of and hear with a decent amount of audio quality. And let me see if I can figure out, you know, exactly where it is that I left off, because it's a couple of hours since I recorded the last segment. But, you know, I want to stress the fundamentals and practicing the fundamentals. And it was so good to get out there and do that today. It was something that I have to say that I did not do enough of before, and I'm going to be doing it a lot. Oh, I know now. I was talking about the guns that I shot, specifically the M&P 9 full size, because I did not get around to shooting the Glock 43 or the M&P 9 Shield, although I have shot both of those extensively since I've owned them. The Shield has a 1,000-round trigger job. The Glock 43 does not have a 1,000-round trigger job yet, but getting close. So, I gotta say, I keep coming back to Glock as a gun that works for me the best. And when I say works, I'm not talking about reliability, because the M&P is every bit as reliable as any Glock that I have ever owned. All the M&Ps, the M&P 9 compact, the M&P 9 full size, and the M&P 9 Shield. I haven't had a problem with any of them, with all kinds of different ammunition. So, thumbs up to that. You know, people that say, well, you know, you should get a Glock because nothing has as good a reliability as a Glock. You know, I'm going to beg to differ with somebody that says that. Smith & Wesson M&Ps, Springfield XDs, I've seen their reliability absolutely equal to Glock. Now, I don't have a lot of experience with Springfield XD guns, but I've got a real good amount of experience now with M&Ps. And I can say every bit as good as the reliability. So if that is your number one criteria, and I think it should be, then M&Ps are just as good. Now, believe it or not, I'm going to say something that may sound strange to you, but the Glocks actually fit my hand better than the Smith & Wesson M&Ps. Can you believe that? I mean, that's not what you hear most people say. Most people are the opposite. You know, they say that the M&Ps or the XDs fit their hand better. Glocks just seem to be... they just seem to fit me absolutely fine. And the grip angle, I actually like. The low bore axis, I actually like a whole lot. In fact, even though the M&P has a low bore axis, it's not quite as much of a low bore axis as a Glock, and I do notice the difference, at least for me. The Springfield XD guns and the Ruger guns seem to sit a little bit too high in my hand. And of course, Sig Sauer's way too high in my hand. And 1911s, although they sit quite a bit higher in my hand than any Glock or M&P, the fact that a 1911 has that beaver tail grip safety helps me out a lot in the way that it fits my hand and my ability to be able to get a nice, high, firm grip on it. But 1911s, in my opinion, have a different set of challenges that I'm not willing to undertake and or put up with in a carry gun. Great for competition, great for fooling around at the range, in my opinion. Not so great. 1911s, not so great for actual concealed carry. Doesn't mean they won't work for you, just don't work for me. Not going to be at the top of my recommendation list either. So I'm back to the philosophy that I was once at. And I kind of got away from this a little bit, and now I'm going back to it. Pick a gun that works for you and stick with it. Now, I'm not saying don't learn how to shoot other guns. All right. How many of you listening to this podcast right now have shot multiple different types of guns in different platforms? I hope so. If not, get some experience doing that. You should know how to run a 1911. You should know how to run a revolver. You should know how to use and run all the different types of striker-fired guns out there, or at least most of the different types. So any way that you can get yourself to fire those guns. I'm not saying you gotta buy one and run several thousand rounds through it, but at least run a box of ammo through it, do a lot of reloads with it, clear some malfunctions with it, and know how to operate it and how to shoot it. Know how to properly use the sights, how to properly grip it. If it's a double action, single action gun and it's got a decocker, know how to use that decocker. Know how to quickly find the decocker lever versus the slide release lever. Okay? Though you need to get yourself familiar, but by and large, if you find a gun that works well with you, or works well for you, well, and with you, stick with it. For me, it's Glocks. For other people, could be M&Ps, could be XDs, could be 1911s, could be SIGs, could be Berettas. Hey, David, one of my loyal listeners named David says I don't show Berettas enough love. So let me go ahead right now and show Berettas some love, okay? I don't care for Berettas, but if you've got a Beretta and maybe you used a Beretta in the military, maybe you didn't use it in the military, but you just happen to like Berettas, wonderful. They're great guns. They're good, well-made guns. And, you know, use them. Find whatever works for you and stick with it. And train with it. Okay? Practice. Maybe it's a revolver. Alan was using a revolver today and it did real well in our practice session. Man, I'd never seen Alan shoot a revolver, and I've seen him shoot, you know, quite a bit before, and I've never seen him shoot a revolver. He did great shooting a revolver. He did very good. It was a large Taurus revolver he was shooting, and he was lights out with that thing. So, it's not the gun, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the gun. It's you. It's you. There's a 99% chance that if you're having issues shooting, it's not the gun. I'm just putting that out there right now. But pick one gun, one platform. I'm not saying just one gun in other words, quantity one. Hey, have as many guns as you want, but find a platform and have multiple guns in that platform. So have multiple M&Ps, have multiple Glocks, have multiple XDs or 1911s or SIGs or Berettas or Rugers or whatever, what have you. But that similarity and that familiarity and the repetition, I just think that is invaluable. And you know the old saying, they say beware the man with one gun because he just might know how to use it and use it well. And so I'm going to change that up a little bit, put the Bob Main spin on it and say, beware of the man or woman with one platform of gun. Because chances are, if that's all he or she has been shooting, they'll be very, very good with it. With that said, please don't forget about calling into my voicemail. I'd like to hear your feedback. 210-646-1727. That's 210-646-1727. I do have more that I want to say. That concludes the main topic and primarily what I wanted to talk about, but I got more to say after this.
A woman is approximately 10 times more likely to be successfully raped when she doesn't have a gun, according to a Department of Justice study. This explains why women in the United States use firearms about 200,000 times a year to stop sexual assaults. It also explains why more than 40% of women own or already have access to a firearm. So why do some politicians want to disarm women? Maybe rape isn't a serious enough crime in their minds. Or maybe they don't want to stare down the wrong end of your barrel.
Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News. Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Okay, hope you enjoyed the break. Woo, just had a good practice session. I had a chance to shoot with three other guys at a place to shoot, and we went to one of their training bays and just practiced the fundamentals. And it's really good to get back to that. It really is. We just practiced making sure that we saw the front sight on shots of, you know, 5 to 15 yards, and we concentrated on a good smooth trigger press and double taps and hammer pairs and shooting multiple targets, shooting 3 to 5 steel targets, putting 1 or 2 rounds on each, transitioning from one target to the other, making sure we do after action assessments, making sure that we are getting good hits, practicing our reloads, doing press checks when we get up to the line. Hey, I got to tell you, you know, let me talk about something controversial. Well, at least I don't think it's controversial, but some people do. Let me talk about press checks. How, you know, so often in a class, in a training class, or even just at a regular shooting bay, here's what you see. You see somebody go up to the shooting line, shoot at a target, press the trigger, and they hear one of the loudest sounds a shooter can hear. That click when they're expecting a bang. And why is that? Because they didn't check the condition of their gun before they got to the shooting line. It happened to me today. It happened to me because I forgot to check the condition of my gun. I forgot to make sure that the magazine is seated properly, and forgot to make sure that I have one chambered. Now, in my opinion, this is something you should do every single day when you leave your house, when you are carrying a firearm. Before you leave your house, keep the muzzle pointed in a safe direction, keep your finger off the trigger, and do a quick press check to see if there's a round in the chamber. Always know the condition of your gun, and whenever your gun leaves your possession, in other words, whenever it leaves your hands or whenever it leaves your holster, and you do something like putting it away for the night, like for example, if you stick it in your safe, or even if you have it in your bedroom somewhere and you get up in the morning, before you put that gun on, press check it. Check to see if there's a round in the chamber. This may sound silly. You might be thinking, Bob, come on, are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. You never know what can happen to your gun, even if it's in the safe. Don't assume. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very easy for you to unload your gun. I don't know, maybe you're going to dry fire practice, maybe you're going to show it to somebody, you know, maybe you're going to, who knows what it is you could do. You could unload your gun and forget to chamber a round or reload it before you put it back in the safe. And then if you take it out of the safe, put it in your holster and go out your door, guess what? You're walking around with an unloaded gun. It happens. And if it can happen in a practice session, it can happen to you in real life. I'm a big believer of doing a press check. Tap the magazine to make sure that you got it seated properly, and then check the chamber to make sure you got a round in the gun. And don't rely on loaded chamber indicators. I'll say it again. Some guns have loaded chamber indicators. Good, fine. Don't rely on them, please. They can fail. One thing I don't like, I was shooting the Smith & Wesson M&P quite a bit today. Wonderful gun. I'm going to get into that in a minute. One thing I don't like about the Smith & Wesson M&P, though, is the loaded chamber indicator is visual. You have to look in the hole to see if you can see brass in that hole. If you can see brass in that hole, then that means it's loaded. Well, guess what? What if it's dark outside? If it's dark outside, I can't look through there unless I pull my flashlight and shine a light on it. And that's not practical. So don't trust that stuff. If it's low light or dark conditions, that visual chamber indicator, visual loaded chamber indicator, is not going to do you any good, is it? Even one you can feel. I still don't like to trust that. Okay? Now, if you're in the dark, you might be saying, well, Bob, what happens if you do your press check and you know, it's dark and you can't see the brass in there? Hey, you know what? If you rack the slide, and if you eject a round and put a new round in, okay, maybe you wasted a live round, but guess what? Now you know that for sure you are loaded and you got a loaded firearm. That is the most important thing, that you got a loaded firearm, that you don't hear the click when you're expecting a bang. What's worse is you don't want to hear a bang when you're only expecting a click. So don't be a knucklehead and don't let that happen to you. But it was great to work on the fundamentals. I didn't, you know, I was just a student here today. I mean, Hank from A Place to Shoot. Good instructor. And, you know, everything we did was standing and delivering. We didn't do any moving today. But, you know, we did shoot at multiple targets. We did shoot at 3 plates and 4 plates and 6 steel plates and things like that. And we practiced putting 1 round on each plate and 2 rounds on each plate and double tapping the first one and then 1 round on each of the other 6 and things like that. So that was good. That was good. It was, you know, it was good to practice shooting multiple targets, which you need to do. You got to do that. So it was a great practice on the fundamentals. And, you know, I think I'm going to make a commitment to myself now. Once every couple of months, I am going to spend a couple of hours on nothing but fundamentals, fundamentals, fundamentals. Front sight, trigger press, follow through. Let the trigger out just to the reset point. That's the way I like to shoot. I know that's controversial, too. Some people say, oh, you shouldn't do that. You should let the trigger all the way out. Yeah, that's okay. I don't completely agree with that, but if that's the way you want to shoot and you can perfect that, that's fine. That's one thing I don't like about the M&P. The M&P pistols don't have as nice of a reset as the Glock pistols or XD pistols, but I still liked it. Like I said, I've got the Pro Series, and it's a pretty decent trigger. But practicing that, once every couple months, I'm going to go do that. And I'm going to try to go do that once every couple of months, not by myself. It's good to have somebody else who's an instructor or who knows what they're doing watching me, because he was watching, and every time I'd miss, you know, he would remind me of a couple of things that I wasn't doing. And we were able to draw from the holster today. We did a lot of draw, fire two, back in the holster. Draw, fire two more, back in the holster. Draw, fire one, back in the holster. Draw, fire one, back in the holster. It's great practice and great holster work and great, you know, it beats dry fire. It really does. It beats dry fire because you can actually fire your gun and you can hear that ding on the steel whenever you make a hit. One of the great things about steel is I think it's great for practicing the fundamentals. We did start with the dot drill. We did start with paper targets. We started with the dot drill, shooting at little red dots and trying to put 6 rounds all on the red dot, which is about 1.5 inches in diameter. And that's good, too. That's great. You got to dial in your marksmanship doing that. The first time I did it, I had 1 that didn't hit the 1.5-inch red dot. 1. 5 out of 6, I hit the 1.5-inch red dot. From about, I think it was about 6 yards, 5 or 6 yards. So that was good. But then after that, we worked on steel. And it's great. Steel is just such a great training tool because you get instant feedback when you make a hit. And if you paint the steel white and you got fresh paint on those steel targets, when your bullet hits the steel, you can even see where on the steel that it hit. That's one thing I like about that too. So that was a lot of fun. And we did it for 2 hours straight. There was just 4 of us there. It was great. Because you can get a lot of practice in if just 3 or 4 of you go to the range. And, you know, that's kind of the way I like to train and practice when it's for me, is when there's 3 or 4 people. That's when I think you really, really get to spend a lot of time. And all 4 of us pretty much knew what we were doing, so we were able to coach each other a little bit. And that's pretty good. So many thanks to Alan, Luis, and Hank from A Place to Shoot for inviting me to do that, and I think I'm going to try to, like I said, do that with them once every couple of months. Okay, now I want to make some comments about the guns I shot. Actually, I went there with the intention of shooting all 3 firearms, and unfortunately I didn't get to do it. I was having so much fun, and I was trying to focused so much on the fundamentals, all I ended up doing was shooting my Smith & Wesson M&P 9 full-size. And I got to tell you, those are wonderful, wonderful guns. I'm still a Glock guy. I still prefer the Glocks, mainly because of the trigger. I think the trigger, I'm talking about stock triggers. I'm not talking about replacement, aftermarket, Apex tactical triggers or anything like that. You know, I'm talking about the stock triggers out of the box. I still prefer the Glocks. And, you know, maybe, like I said, maybe it's just because I've got so many thousands of rounds that I have shot with a Glock pistol that, you know, that's just the way I expect a good trigger to feel. And, yeah, Glocks have good triggers. They do. What? What do you mean, Bob? They got terrible triggers. No, they don't. No. If you practice and practice and practice and shoot 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 rounds through the same Glock pistol, that trigger is going to be like a trigger on almost any other semi-automatic pistol. It's going to get real nice and smooth. And you are going to get real good with it because that's how much you're shooting it. And you're going to get used to it. Four Glocks that I carry. I have two G19s, a G42, and a G43 that I actually carry. Those are my carry Glocks. They're stock, and they're going to stay stock. The only thing that is going to be different on those guns is changing out the sights. That's it. You know, I got my tricked out G19. I may carry that someday. I don't know. What I got that set up for, I've got that set up for IDPA competition that I want to do next year in the CCP division, compact carry pistol division, which is for all guns with a 4.1-inch barrel or less. It's a new division in IDPA, and I think it's pretty cool. Think about that now. All guns with a 4.1-inch barrel or less. Hey, where did they get that requirement, huh? 4.1-inch barrel. Nah, think about that. Let's see. Which compact carry pistol has a 4.1-inch barrel? I don't know. See if you can figure it out. That's what the division was designed for. That's what it was built around and set up for anyway. But what's really cool is IDPA finally has come up with a division that's not for backup guns, but for compact guns.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
Okay, I just want to spend a couple minutes talking about knucklehead politicians. And this is not politics that I'm going to get into, in other words, political philosophy. I'm just going to talk about knuckleheads and what they're saying. One person I want to talk about is not a politician. The other one is. The first one who's not a politician I want to talk about is Mark Kelly, Gabby Gifford's husband, astronaut Mark Kelly. Mark Kelly was recently interviewed, and he was asked specifically which gun control law would have prevented this nut job in Oregon from doing what he did, or which specific gun law could we pass or has been passed that could stop any of these nutbags, or that would stop it. He admitted on a television interview, if I can find it, I'm going to go ahead and link to it in the show notes. He admitted on a television interview that really no laws would stop what happened. So it begs this question. Then why is he one of the people calling for more gun control laws? If he himself admits it, why isn't he saying, look, forget gun control. Let's loosen the laws on gun control, and let's make them more available and get more people carrying them and trained up to carrying them. Why is he advocating for more gun control if he himself admits that it wouldn't help? And then he goes into something about background checks. Well, more extensive background checks. Wow. What bad guy is going to submit to a background check to get his gun? Oh, this is just driving me nuts when these people say this. I mean, all the background checks are going to do is make it slightly more difficult for law-abiding citizens to get guns. That's it. Can anybody explain or clearly lay out exactly how more background checks, more than we already have, will stop these nut jobs from going into a small college and killing a bunch of people, or going into theaters, or going into churches, or going into elementary schools? How is it going to work? How is that going to stop it? Come on. Please, folks, stop driving me nuts, would you please? The other knucklehead I want to talk about is Hillary Clinton and what she recently said about guns. Now, don't shut me off if you're a Hillary Clinton supporter. Don't do that right now. Just hear me out, okay? She did the same thing. Talked about more background checks for internet sales. Especially, she did make a mention of internet sales. She wasn't specifically talking about internet gun sales, but she did mention that. Now, okay, first of all, she's really showing her ignorance. Any gun purchased from another state on the internet must, by federal law, be shipped to an FFL, a federal firearms license dealer, in your area. And then you must go to the federal firearms license dealer, fill out the federal form, and guess what? They're going to do a background check. The only thing I think she could be talking about, and I doubt this, but I use Texas as an example. I can go to TexasGunTrader.com, TexasGunTrader.com, which is an internet website, and I can find a gun that I want to buy, and I can email the seller of the gun, and I can meet up with him, and we can do a private sale. He'll probably give me a bill of sale, so there's a record of it, but I can hand him cash, he'll hand me the gun, and that's legal in the state of Texas. But that's not really an internet sale, that's a private sale. Okay, she's calling for more background checks for internet sales. There already are background checks for internet sales, Mrs. Clinton. And even if we expanded the background checks, once again, Mrs. Clinton, would you do the same thing that your supporter, Mark Kelly, needs to do? Would you please explain to us how that is going to stop these nut jobs from doing what they're doing in these mass shootings? And if you can't explain that, would you please shut up and quit talking about more background checks? Mrs. Clinton also asked, or is calling for, keeping guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them. Now, okay, I got a couple issues with that. And again, please hear me out. Give me the benefit of the doubt here, and you can voicemail me or email me and light me up if I'm wrong. In fact, I welcome it. How do you propose to keep guns out of the hands of people who should not have them? A lot of people are saying, well, if somebody is mentally ill, don't make it possible for them to pass a background check. Well, that sounds good in theory, but how are you going to determine that? How are you going to determine that somebody is mentally ill and should not pass a background check for a firearm? Who's going to make that decision? And how are they going to make it? And what criteria are they going to use? And then, do you trust the people that are going to make that decision? What would stop them from just putting any kind of a label on somebody that says, okay, you're mentally ill, you can't have a gun? And now you may have hundreds of thousands or millions of Americans with their Second Amendment rights taken away, because some bureaucrat decides, you know what? You're mentally ill. You took 2 weeks worth of medication, and I think that because of your 2 weeks worth of medication, you're mentally ill, so you can't pass a background check. Look, folks, do we really want a system like that? Do we want some government bureaucrat to decide that you're mentally ill and you can't ever buy or possess a gun? Come on. Come on. We don't want that. So, Mrs. Clinton, or anybody else, not just Hillary, I'm going to pick on anybody that's calling for that. Just exactly how, give us specifics, just exactly how would a system like that work where we would keep guns out of the hands of people that shouldn't have them? I'm not saying that I don't want these people to have guns. Excuse me. I'm not saying that I want them to have guns. Okay? But I'm saying, what kind of a system could be fair for all and still accomplish the purpose of keeping guns out of the hands of people that shouldn't have them? There is none. That's the answer. There is no system that can do that. So it's very disingenuous for any politician, reporter, or anybody to be saying that, and they're really showing their ignorance about how getting guns really, really does work. Okay? Again, bad guys are always going to get guns through an illegal method. They're not going to submit to a background check. They're normally not going to go into a federal firearms licensed dealer. And there's a real good chance that they're not even going to meet with a private person and hand them cash, because there is going to be a bill of sale that's going to be produced for that, or from that, if the seller is smart. Bad guys are going to steal guns. They're going to buy them from gangbanger friends. They're going to get them as part of a drug deal, which is probably a stolen gun in the first place. That's how they get them. And if they buy the gun legally, if somebody buys the gun legally and then becomes a nut job, or even if they are a nut job and they buy a gun, and then they go out and they commit a mass shooting, how are you going to stop that? You know what? There is only one way to stop that. What just happened in Oregon? Police, if I'm not mistaken, police confronted the guy who did the shooting. And guess what? They shot him. Okay? The way these people are stopped is when somebody else with a gun shows up on the scene, shoots them, or these people shoot themselves because they're afraid, because they're too chicken, because they're a coward. They're afraid of facing what will happen to them if they're put through the judicial system. And, of course, in my belief, God's got something a lot worse in store for them than the United States judicial system. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the only thing that has a realistic chance of stopping mass shootings. And I know we've had a lot of them lately. Giving more people the ability to protect themselves, getting rid of gun-free zones, that is the only way that will have a dramatic effect on being able to stop these mass shootings. And that's all I want to say about that particular subject. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of the Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, evil does not exist in the holster, but rather in the hearts of man. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll catch you next time. Goodbye.